Good morning to each of you this morning. I'd like to greet you in Jesus' name. It has been good to be gathered here this morning in this warm place to worship. And I'd like to say a word of thanks to our trustees and janitors for making it all happen so that we could gather in this way this morning. Been richly blessed as we have studied already into God's Word, and I trust that God's presence will continue to be with us, and I trust that we can learn more from Him. I would like to have you think about the thought this morning with me for a few moments, and the thought is, God has chosen you. God has chosen you. I was blessed to hear that thought come through a little bit already this morning, and I would like for us to think about that some more. God has chosen you. As was mentioned, we spent a number of weeks at Bible school, and one of the blessings of being at Bible school, may I say that you are, use the word, forced to study God's Word. And it should not be a force, it should be a pleasure, and it is. But sometimes we need to discipline ourselves to get into God's Word. And one of the classes that I taught was 1 and 2 Peter. And I'd like to go there this morning. These words have stood out to me much as I studied the book of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. We'll be using verse 9 for our text this morning. And we'd like to think about the thought, God has chosen you. What comes to your mind when you think of this thought, God has chosen you? Does it give you confidence? Does it give you confidence this morning when you think of the fact that God has chosen you? Does it make you wonder? Has God really chosen me? Do you question it? Does it make you question? Has God really chosen me? What comes to your mind? We as people this morning, we like to be included. No one likes to be rejected. No one likes isolation. We like to be accepted. We don't like to be in the minority. And we don't like to fail. So sometimes the fact of being chosen eliminates some of those factors. Rejection, isolation, minority. We sometimes lose that when we know that we are chosen. This morning we want to think about God has chosen you. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. What a blessed thought for the Christian this morning. If you are here and you are God's child, this is for you. God has chosen you. You are one of the chosen. What a wonderful privilege and blessing. But what does that all mean? God has chosen you. It's different than choosing teams for a softball game. When we choose, from a human perspective, we tend to look at good, better, best. You know, what would be the best in this situation? We're trying to make a choice. That is not what we're talking about this morning. When God has chosen us, it's not a thing of good, better, best. It's a thing of, are we one of the chosen or are we not one of the chosen? It's a condition of either or, not a scale of good to best. How do we think of ourselves in the sight of God? It's easy for us to think about the negative. It's easy for us to doubt. It's easy for us to wonder, to question. How does God see me? Someday, and we talked about that this morning, someday we will face God. We will stand before God. How will it be? What will happen? Will God accept me? Will God reject me? What does God think about me? This morning it is important for God's children to know that they are God's chosen ones. And we want to highlight that this morning. Obviously, we know there's things that go into this, and we want to look at that just a little bit. We want to know what is all involved as God's chosen. But the point is, God has chosen us. And it is precious for us this morning as God's children to realize God has chosen us. I had to think about David, the shepherd boy. Back in the Old Testament, God, through Samuel, made it clear to David that God has chosen him. How do you think David felt? What thoughts were in David's mind when he knew that God had chosen him? There he stood, David. He was the smallest. He was the youngest. He was probably the weakest. When Samuel came to that family, and God told Samuel that there is one in this family that I have chosen. There is someone in this family that I have chosen. And Samuel started going down through those sons, down through the brothers. How do you think David felt when he knew that God had chosen him? It was because God wanted him. David was special for him in this case, for this purpose. I want to believe that David felt deeply humbled. I want to believe that David felt very grateful and very blessed to be chosen, very privileged. And this morning, as God's children, we need to feel that way as well. I do not feel that David felt just a little better than his brothers because God chose him. But yet we see that David probably felt humbled, grateful, and blessed. And we as well need that this morning. I see four thoughts in this verse. God has chosen us, and I see four thoughts in this verse that I would like to highlight this morning as we think of being a chosen people. And they are, who are the chosen? We want to look at that a little bit. Who are the chosen? It says, ye are a chosen generation. Who is that this morning? We've already implied who that is. We want to look at that just a little closer. I also see in the phrase, it says, ye are a chosen generation. It has a phrase jumping down to the third one, and holy nation. We want to look at how the chosen are identified. And we also want to look at the responsibility of the chosen. It says a royal priesthood, and also says that ye should show forth the praises of him. And then we also see in here the blessing awaiting the chosen. Let's look at who are the chosen. It says, ye are a chosen generation. We start in the Old Testament. If we start reading our Bible in the Old Testament, where we often do, the Old Testament starts talking about chosen people. And if we stay with that thought, we can conclude that the chosen are the children of Israel. Is that who we're talking about this morning as the chosen? Who are the chosen? I'd like to read just a couple verses in Exodus 19 that talk about God's chosen. Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. Now therefore, If ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So the words are coming here to the children of Israel, and the Lord is saying that these are my chosen people. I know you know your Bible well enough to know that in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were the chosen people. But just note with me, just a couple conditions here. This will be important for later. If ye will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. God was telling the children of Israel that they were a chosen people. Is that who the chosen people are this morning? Well, let's look a little closer into God's word. Deuteronomy 14:1 also has a couple verses. Chapter 14, Deuteronomy 1. Let me read those for you this morning. Verse 1 starts out with these words. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. And then verse 2 says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Here again, we see God choosing people to be his. I would like to insert here two thoughts that I would like for you to remember. And the first one is that God is looking for people to call his own. Ever since the beginning of time, ever since man took that step away from God, God has been looking to reestablish a connection with people that he can call his own. That's a wonderful thought. And that's also a wonderful opportunity for us. God is looking for people. Second one is, God will not forsake his people. That also is a wonderful thought. As we think of the fact that God is looking and God will not forsake his people. God does not turn his back on those who choose to follow him. And we see that thought coming through in the verse in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 12, 22 says, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Again, that was written in the Old Testament. How can we relate to that this morning? Are we God's people? God has chosen you. Does that mean that God has chosen the children of Israel? Let's look at a couple verses in Acts 15. And hope we can tie this together with these verses. As we think of Acts 15, we have James speaking here, and he is using words from the Old Testament. Verse 13, we have James speaking, and I'll break in the middle of the verse. He says, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, that would be referring to Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. There are other places. Let's read verse 18 yet. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. There are other verses that we could turn to And we could spend more time with this thought, but we begin to see the transition between the chosen people of the Old Testament and the chosen people of the New Testament. Was it two separate groups? No, it wasn't. It was a blending together of all persons. God was opening up the door of opportunity to everyone. God was including you and I in that call to be His chosen people. We could go to to Paul's letter to the Christians at Ephesus, where he talks about being aliens, strangers from the covenant of promise, without hope and without God. That was the picture of each of us this morning. We were aliens of Israel. We were strangers, without hope and without God. But this morning, because of the blood of Jesus, that wall of partition has been broken down, and we can come nigh unto God. Romans 3:29 says, "Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles?" Yes, of the Gentiles only. So the question we've been thinking about is, who are the chosen? 1 Peter says, "Ye are the chosen generation." Have we answered that question? This morning, the chosen, the possibility for the chosen is it can be each one of us this morning. So again, we're faced with the question, are we one of the chosen? God has chosen you. One of the ways we answer that question of, am I one of the chosen? Is we need to look at and identify the characteristics of the chosen. What are the characteristics of the chosen? What do we look for in the chosen? The verse in Peter highlights one of those for us. And the point I would like to make here, as we think of the characteristics of the chosen, is the chosen are identified by their holy living. Verse 9 of 1 Peter 2 says, "Ye are a chosen generation." And one of the things it says as a description of the chosen generation is an holy nation. We could also look at the earlier chapter 1, verse 15 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." How do we be holy? It says that if we are the chosen generation, we will be an holy people. Now, how are we holy? I just read the verse from verse 15 out of chapter 1. It says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy." So in answer to that question, it is telling us to be holy, we need to be as the one who has called us. Well, we know that that is God. Does that mean in order to be chosen, we need to be as holy as God is? That's pretty difficult. And how can we expect to live up to that? Does God expect us to live up to that this morning? What is holiness? What is holy living? Does God expect His chosen people to be as holy as what He is? We need to answer that because I feel it's important, and I wonder if it's something that we struggle with in our lives. We feel we may not be living a holy enough life to be accepted with God. And that's one of the things that Satan can throw at us. God has not chosen you. God has not accepted you because you are not living a holy life. You should be doing better in your life. Do you ever struggle with those thoughts? How can we be holy and be part of the chosen generation? The answer I would like to promote here is also found in 1 Peter chapter 1, and it is the verse before verse 15. It says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." And the point I would like to make to sum up what we talked about, how can we be holy and to be chosen and to be accepted by God? I think what Peter is telling us here is that God is looking for a holy expression, inwardly, outwardly, but it's the process of becoming more like God. We use God as the pattern, and we are in the process of shaping our life to be as God is. Now, we know that we will never be as holy as God because we have sinned. And we are living with the nature to sin. But yet we are in the process of spending our energy to become as God is. We are following after His pattern. What we need to remember is when we become a Christian, we still have the same tendencies that we had before. It will be easy for us to revert back to the way we were before because that's what we were used to doing. If it was easy for us to respond in anger before we were a Christian, it will be easy for us to respond in anger after we were a Christian unless we use the power of God. But naturally speaking, our natural tendency will be to revert back because that was our learned pattern of behavior before we were a Christian, which, of course, we need to change. So if I may use that illustration again, if we struggled with anger before, it's a high possibility we will struggle with anger after. If the interest of my life was what's happening with the Pittsburgh Penguins before, it will happen after. If the concern, my main concern in life before was, how do I appear? What do I look like? That will be also our main concern after. We need to, as God's chosen, to be an holy nation, we need to be using our energy to be putting off and putting on. And obviously, this is all under the umbrella of serving God and using His power. But I see that here in verse 14 and 15 of 1 Peter. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. God sees the intent of your heart, and if He sees you pursuing His pattern for your life, He sees you as living holy, and you are one of His chosen generation. We need to remember that as the children of Israel departed from God, and God dealt with them because of their sin, the same can happen to us today. And I would like to read the verse from Malachi 3:7 that says, "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return?" We could spend time looking at the Old Testament and how the children of Israel departed from God. They sought their own way. They sought their own will. They sought their own pleasure. And God finally had to turn away from them because of their sin. But this morning, the point is, the chosen are identified by their holy living. If God sees us pursuing holy living, we are the chosen. And we need to rest in that fact. Let's look at the third one, responsibilities of the chosen, and I would like to highlight the fact here of the chosen are God's link to mankind. And I see that in two phrases in verse 9 of our text. First, he makes reference to a royal priesthood, and he also says that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. I see here a responsibility of the chosen generation, and that is to be a link to mankind. The chosen are God's link to mankind, and the first one we see is through what he is referring to as a royal priesthood. Now, what was the job of a priest? It is a responsibility that we don't refer to quite as much as they did back in the Old Testament. But basically, if we needed to sum up the office of a priest in brief, we would say that the priest was the link between God and the souls of men. The priest, he was sometimes appointed by God for the nation of Israel. Sometimes it was the head of the family. Sometimes it was the leader of the tribe. But yet the responsibility there was to be the link between God and man. God has given that responsibility to his chosen people. And this morning, as God's children, he is looking at you to fulfill that responsibility. He wants to use you to touch the souls of men. We need to look at that personally. God wants you, first of all, to deal with your soul. You have a soul, and you need to deal with that. And after we have dealt with our own sin problem, we have established that connection with God. We are one of the chosen. God is also wants to use you to reach out to the souls of men around you. That is our responsibility as being his chosen. And that can come in many ways. It can be the lost around us. It can be those in the church family. It can be those in our family. But we are responsible. God is using us as that link to flow out to others. The second one I see here is that ye should show forth the praises of him. We are God's link to mankind, and God wants to use us as priests, and he also wants to use us as an expression of his praise, what he has done. This is a big responsibility. The question is, how are we fulfilling this responsibility? That comes to us personally. It's up to us to accept that responsibility and to fulfill it. And basically, in short, what we're saying is that when people around you look at you, do they see God? Do they see an expression of God in your life? And the focus is here on the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God wants people to be able to look at your life and see that here is one who has been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And when they see that, they will wonder, how did that happen? And in that process, it brings praise to God. That is one of the responsibilities of God's chosen. Can he rely on you this morning as his chosen to be that link to other souls? Can he rely on you this morning to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness? I would like to look at the fourth point yet, and that is the chosen are a blessed people. I find that in the phrase, it says, a peculiar people. but ye are a chosen generation, a peculiar people. What does it mean to be a peculiar people? In our English, we tend to use the word peculiar when we refer to something odd, something that's different, something that's maybe just slightly strange. We can use that to refer to peculiar. But it's not meaning that in verse 9. And if we can get a glimpse of what this means, a peculiar people, I think it highlights very much what a wonderful blessing it is to be one of the chosen. What does it mean here when it says a peculiar people? It means that you are God's own special possession. God calls you His own. And not only that, God calls you special. God calls you His possession. That's what you are to God. Isn't that a blessing? I said in the beginning how people don't like to be, they don't like to be isolated. We don't like failure. We don't like to be rejected. We like to be included. This morning, the blessing of being chosen is that we belong. And it's not the fact that we belong to the majority of society, it's the fact that we belong to God. That is what it means when it talks about a peculiar people. We are God's own purchased special people, and that is so wonderful for us this morning. Another blessing I think of when I think of the chosen people is, as God's chosen, we can escape the condition of those who are not chosen. When we say this morning that God has chosen people, we're also implying that there is also a group of people that are not chosen. And we do not have time to think about all that they face in life. But a couple things that just come to my mind are that God's chosen people need to face life alone. Sure, they can relate a little bit, but spiritually they are alone in life. God's chosen people, they belong. They are a part of God's people. We could think of a family bond for an illustration of this. When you belong to a family bond, it gives you security, it gives you stability. And we have that when we are part of the chosen. And those who are not, they do not have that. They do not have stability, they do not have security. They are alone spiritually. The third blessing I see here, as I think of the chosen, our blessed people, is God is with the chosen through hard times. And this comes out as you study the book of 1 Peter, 2 Peter. The Christians that Peter was writing to were people who already had faced hard times, and they had been scattered abroad, but yet they were also going to face harder times under the hand of Nero. And Peter was writing to these Christians, and he was telling them who they are in Christ and how that being part of Christ's body, being part of the chosen, that God would be with them and God would help them as they face hard times. Remember that as you think of the chosen. God has chosen you. That means God is with you. No matter what you will face, God is with you as you face life. There are many other blessings that we could think about as we think of the chosen, our blessed people. But I trust this morning that this has stirred your heart and your mind as you think of the fact that God has chosen you. Yes, this is conditional. And really, a lot of this choice, it comes down to our heart and how we respond to God. But yet the fact is, God has chosen you. You are important to Christ. Satan wants us to doubt. Satan wants us to waver. Satan wants us to wonder, does God really want me? But yet God makes it so clear in His Word that if we meet the conditions, He has chosen us to be His. We are His special people. I leave that thought with you this morning. My heart's desire is that we could be stable and strong in Him, knowing that He cares for us and that He is with us. Let's kneel for prayer at this time.